Jeff, thanks so much for speaking to us this morning.
Pleasure. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. So I guess it seems like such an obscure art form. How did you become a spoonsmith?
Yeah, it is a bit obscure. it's also kind of absorbing. So I actually started off about 20 years ago now in a little English woodland in Herefordshire. And I attended this 10-day woodworking course, but it wasn't any normal woodworking course. We started off and he gave us this enormous log, nearly as tall as myself, and an axe. And we had to split that log and split it again and again and then shave it with the axe until it was a rough shape and then put it on foot-powered, handmade lathes. And 10 days later, we walked out with this beautiful chair. And that was a real life changer. But the thing is, when you make chairs, you've got to sit on them and you've got to do something when you're sitting. So a few years later, I sat on a chair and I decided to carve a spoon. And it was just nonstop from there on. It's such an absorbing and relaxing craft that it just completely sucked me in.
So I suppose, you know, there would be the argument from some people saying, you know, we have mass produced, we've got, you know, pretty much the technology these days to mass produce spoons and other sorts of utensils. Why keep this practice alive?
Oh, it's so important on many levels. One, it is an old trade, and these old trades, they're in danger of dying out unless we actually keep them going. And they're an important part of our culture. So it's that side of things. The other side of things is that we live in such busy times. We're always busy, even spoon carvers. And to actually have the ability to take a day out and tune out and just focus on a tool, a really simple tool like a carving knife and a bit of wood that's in your hand, and you just carve. And I call it spoon carving, it's like this accidental kind of meditation. I call it spoonfulness. And it just completely sucks you in and everything else in your day just disappears. And it's totally relaxing.
And so you do offer wooden spoon carving classes. When did you decide, I guess, that this was something you wanted to share with people?
Okay, well, you know, I've been carving for many years and I'd seen there's been a few people around the world that have been doing the courses. So about 5 years ago now, I decided to run a few half-day workshops down my way. I'm on the far south coast. And I just thought, oh, I'll give it a go. There won't be any strange spoony people out there. It would just be me sitting by myself carving a spoon, which is fine. And they just sold out really quick. And that's what kind of woke me up. I was like, wow, maybe there are lots of people out there really keen to get, you know, to get crafty, to do things with their hands, you know. So, since that day on, I've been traveling. I'm now doing workshops all over the place. As you said, I'm in Sydney this weekend. That's sold out. I'm back in Sydney in December. That's sold out. And I'm back in February and March. There's still tickets for that if anyone wants to get in. I'm going down to Tasmania in January. I'm negotiating Alice Springs at the moment. It's all over the place. And even beyond Australia, but people want me to go to France and Texas. You
know? Oh, wow.
So it's become this really big thing centered on a really small thing.
You weren't wrong when you said spoon carvers are busy.
Yeah, we are.
So I was reading, I guess, as well, the link between, I guess, spoon carving and people getting a little bit more in touch with nature, specifically, I guess, for people like us in Sydney who are surrounded by the concrete jungle every day. Where does that come into it?
Okay, so when I carve a spoon, I don't start with a plank from a hardware store. I start with a log. So the journey I take when I actually carve a spoon, it actually starts the moment that I walk into the bush. And, you know, I'm lucky to have friends with big bush blocks and they tell me when trees are blown down and things like that. So when I actually walk into the bush, I'm then foraging for spoon wood. And that connection, as soon as I'm there, it's so apparent. So So, and as a spoon carver, you actually look for wood a little bit different to, say, what your typical furniture maker would be looking for. They'd be looking for really straight, big timbers. I look for these crooked little old things, you know, like the tree version of Gollum from Lord of the Rings. And if I can find something like that, then it does two things. One, it makes a really strong spoon that I can have of a certain shape. But the other thing I love having is that when the spoon is finished, you can actually still see the tree in it. It's still, you know, the knots are there present, you know. Even some of my spoons I have with still with the little borer holes in them, you know. So it's almost like a co-carved thing. I've done my bit and they've carved their bit, you know. So there's that constant connection with nature. And sometimes I carve them out in the bush, and that's the ultimate thing for me. I just absolutely love doing that, you know. So.
Yeah, wow. I didn't even realize that you could just carve it straight out of a bush at all.
Yes. Yeah, you can, yeah. So, because I basically my tools are a small axe and a couple of knives. So there's nothing to plug in. and you basically just start off with anything, and you don't even have to go for a walk in the bush. You know, you can. Once you get known as that spoony kind of person wherever you live, you get all sorts of gifts tossed over your fence. You know, so you can carve from anything. Yeah.
And so, before I do let you go, Jeff, if anyone's out there who I guess wants to get involved or wants to give their hand at trying carving anything, perhaps, you know, a spoon or anything else, what advice would you have for anybody out there?
Okay, do learn it properly. It's a totally relaxing thing to do, but attending a workshop is a really good idea because the tools that you're using, they're very simple, but they're also very sharp. So a workshop will show you the really safe way to do that. And they're a lot of fun as well, you know, so you get to hang out with other people who are really interested in that same kind of thing. So I would recommend doing a bit of that. You know, you learn kind of on the internet as well, but you can't be learning face to face. And I would say, you know, just keep at it. But anyone who does start, they tend to do that anyway because it just sucks them in completely. So it's a really welcome addition to people's lives. So it's we need more spooners out there, so people keep coming, you know.
There we go. Get involved. Well, Jeff, it's super impressive. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.